You may be seated. We're going to take our Bibles tonight and go to 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20 is our jump-off spot tonight. As we think about praying with Hezekiah a second time, we looked at him last week and we want to do that again tonight, continuing in that thought that we might learn, that we might grow. 2 Kings chapter number 20. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Follow along if you will, please. The Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs, and he took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Let's pray tonight again. Father, you know, Lord, that we desire tonight to be a blessing. And Lord, I know there's folk here who need blessed, and my heart's been blessed already, Lord, with the singing, the praying, the fellowship. And yet, Lord, I would like to see that furthered. And Lord, you've said that the horse is prepared for the day of battle. And Lord, I believe that tonight I've done my part to prepare. But you also said that the safety is of the Lord. Now, Lord, we've used so often the analogy that if we want you to raise the dead, then we are obligated to roll the stone away. And we believe, Lord, that we've done that. And so I pray tonight that all that has led up to this place would redound to your honor and your glory, that this would further bring more glory to you, that our thinking and our decisions would be made based on the preaching of the Word of God tonight. And Lord, that we'll not be sorry for those things that we think about, meditate on, the decisions we make when we stand before you. We love you tonight, Lord, and praise you, Lord. Oh, how we praise you, that you loved us first. So I pray for your help tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Praying with Hezekiah. We looked at his life a little bit last week, and we noted that he's pretty much like us. When he had a need, he tried several other things prior to just talking to the Lord about that need. In fact, this is such a common problem with people that the Lord has given us several lessons in the Word of God about this. And so I'd like to invite you to go to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 16, and we'll look at one such case, 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. And this is, we've kind of culled this verse out to verse number 9, but we want to kind of set this up just a little bit and notice this. Beginning in verse number 7, the Bible said, In that time, Hanani, the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in a bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared the drugstore people, the pharmacies, apothecaries, art, and they made a very great burning for him. Notice some things about this. Of course, Asa, when he got in a jam, he starts calling everybody to help him except the Lord. And then the preacher comes and says, listen, you should have trusted the Lord. You've trusted everybody but him. And instead of him getting right, he got angry. You know, getting angry is usually a sign that maybe your heart's really not right with the Lord. And so the Bible testifies that he got angry, and he stayed angry for a while. In fact, he started punishing people that he ought not to have punished. He did things he should not have done. And the Bible says in verse number 10 that he oppressed some of the people at the same time. Well, then something else happens to him. He gets a disease of his feet, and it's getting worse. So for 2 years he lives with this disease, but he still doesn't seek the Lord. He goes to the physicians. He does everything he can do to take care of this himself. And he dies with this problem still having plaguing him, because he's too proud, too foolish, too backslidden to talk to the Lord about his problem. Go to the New Testament, if you will, to the book of James, and we find the same principle indicated in chapter 4, beginning in verse number 2. The Bible says, you lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so here we find cases both in the Old Testament and the New Testament where God is telling us that, American Express says never leave home without it. And sometimes people think as long as they've got a limit above what their debt is, that they're okay, take the plastic and forget to pray about anything. And we try a lot of different things. James gives us a list of things that we try before we really submit to the Lord and talk to him about what the problem really is. Now, in the text that we read in 2 Kings chapter number 20, we find these things that we need to look at tonight in the area of prayer. First off, in verse number 1, we find that there's always something coming up. Always something coming up. I talked with a man today, and he was saying, well, this happened, and then this happened, and this happened, and we got a break, and we thought, boy, things are going to go well, and then this happened, and this happened, and this happened. I said, it sounds like you're preaching to me the message I'm preaching tonight. He said, what do you mean? I said, the Bible talks about Hezekiah. He prayed, and God answered his prayer, and everything was wonderful. And then he gets his bad news again. He's sick unto death. There's always something to pray about. Things are never so good that we don't have time to pray, that we shouldn't take time to pray about it. He had a real answer to prayer. Now comes another problem. Job said it this way in Job chapter 5 and verse number 6. He says, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither does trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. And I believe that the Lord is very attentive to us to keep us close to himself. I believe that's His desire. He wants to keep us near unto Him. You know, the old adage of somebody said, I can't get my young college student doesn't call home. They don't write. They don't telegraph. They don't do this. They don't communicate with me. And somebody else said, hey, listen, here's all you have to do. Just don't put any more money in their checking account. They'll call home. And I also heard a story of how the old shepherds used to take a lamb. If they had a lamb that continually ran off, they know that a lamb that runs off to the side of the flock is going to be the first one that's taken, and they know that the flock is safer if they're all together. And so this little lamb keeps running off and running off and running off. He goes and gets it and brings it back. He runs off. He goes and gets it and brings it back. And finally one day he gets it and he picks it up and he takes his leg and goes snap. And then he sets the leg and carries the lamb until that leg is healed. And all the time that leg is healing, the lamb realizes, I can trust this guy. I need to stick close to this guy. This guy takes better care of me than I can take care of myself. And sometimes I think that trouble comes into our life because God is notifying us, I want you to call home. I want you to stick close to me. I want to be there to help. I want to be your number one go-to guy. I don't want you going everywhere else before you try out the Lord Jesus. Now, in this case, the something that came in to Hezekiah's life was a message from the Lord. And it was the same Lord, listen to me tonight, it was the same Lord that brought the bad message that had brought the good message. Why is it that we shout amen when the good Lord brings a good message, but we shout oh me when the same good Lord brings what we think is a bad message? Many times those bad messages are simply blessings in disguise. There's many things that have happened in our lives as children of God that we wouldn't want to go back through again. But when we look back on our lives, we can thank God that those things happened because we can sense, looking back, that God used those things to mold us and to make us and to shape us and to conform us into the image of His Son. And could I say that Christians that have the Lord Jesus on their life are attractive Christians, and Christians that don't are not so attractive. And so the Bible testifies that this same good Lord brought this message to him, and his message was simply this, thou shalt die and not live. So really he got two negative messages all at one time. Thou shalt die and not live. God didn't want there to be any misunderstanding. God says, Hezekiah, you're going to die. You are a dead man. You're going to die. But you know, as I read that, I thought how that is true of us also. For in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, and verse number 27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. And thank God, though we all have to die once, we don't have to die twice. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that to judgment. We're different than an alley cat, and we need to thank God for that. And excuse me if you like alley cats, but we're different than an alley cat. We need to understand that. And we ought not to let death scare us all the time to where it impedes our life and won't allow us to live for Him. We don't need to be unreasonably frightened by the thought of death, but we do need to be prepared. We need to understand that it's going to happen. It's appointed unto man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. And then the Bible says the second part of the message came, set thine house in order. Get ready to die. You know, when I think about death and dying, I think, oh my goodness, if I hated my children, I'd leave my garage just like it is. If I hated my children, I'd leave my office just like it is. Set thine house in order, the Bible says. I remember telling a man one time, if I knew someone that I really did dislike, I'd buy him a horse and give it to him. And about maybe 30 days later, he bought a horse and gave it to me. And I wondered about that for a long time. But anyway, that's a different story. Though the Bible testifies that we're to set our house in order. And then he says, set thine house in order. You can't set somebody else's house in order, nor can they set your house in order. I cannot set in order my adult child's house. nor can my adult child set my house in order. Isaiah didn't say, let me set it in order for you. He said, thou shalt die and not live. Set thine house in order. It's something he had to do. And this time, Hezekiah does something more right, more correct. He begins to pray. And the Bible says that he turns his face to the wall. And this, of course, could indicate one of two things. It could indicate at least one of two things. It could indicate rebellion. You know how a child will sometimes jerk their arm away just before they get it jerked off and slapped with it? And they jerk their arm away. But he turned over, he put his face against the wall, and the Bible says he cried. Now, when we think about it being rebellion, think on this. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse number 11, the Bible says, but they refused to hearken, speaking of God's people, and pulled away the shoulder and stopped the ears that they should not hear. Well, I can see Hezekiah doing that. That might have been what he did. But I don't think so. I don't think so. The other thing that it points to is humility and a desire not to be distracted, that he's really serious about his talking to the Lord. And I believe because of the results of what happened and the way God dealt with him in the next few verses, I believe it's indicative that he did humble himself and turn to the Lord. Now his prayer, he reminds the Lord of all the good that he's done. Boy, don't we do that sometimes? Don't we rely on the Lord every time we bought bubble gum from somebody or for somebody, every time we bought a Girl Scout cookie, every time we helped a little old lady across the street? Sometimes when we pray, we want to remind God of all the good things we've done. And personally, I think we need to be careful when we do that. The Bible testifies in Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. So even when we're talking to God, we need to be careful about patting ourselves on the back. My mom used to say, hey, if you pat yourself on the back any harder, you'll break your arm. And I think that's sometimes what we do. It's certain for this, though, it's certain that the Lord Jesus knew what his statements were about, and he knew the truth or the lack of truth of them, and he knew that Hezekiah was wanting to communicate with him. Now let's take our Bibles and go over to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 38, where we see the recording of the same incident, but we see it given a little more detail put in to what's being said. And so we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read down through just a ways. The Bible says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee for the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward, so the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. The writings of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his illness. Now, stop and think just a minute. He's writing about the time in verse number 9. He's going to tell us what's going through his mind in verses 1 through verse number 8. He's writing, the Bible says, the writings of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning, that as a lion, so he will break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove, mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. Now let's notice some things tonight as we think about the additional things that he has given us, the additional details he's given us about this time that he prayed. First off, in verses 10 through 12, he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was going to die. He didn't think God was playing a trick on him or God was just joking with him. He thought he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. In verse number 12, he imagines the pain and the terror of death. He says in verse number 12, he speaks of pining sickness. Pining means like the poorest, the lowest, the most helpful, like an ordinary person. He says, one of the humiliating things about the fact I'm going to die, I'm not going to die like the king of Judah. I'm going to die like an ordinary person. That troubled him. That bothered him. A king's not supposed to die like an ordinary person. And he imagines a slow and painful death. He imagined like a lion that the Lord's going to break all of his bones and then he's going to take him from morning until night to die. He's not going to die a fast death. He's going to die this lingering, painful, awful death. And that troubled him to his heart. It should have bothered him. In verse number 13, he reckoned and he wrestled with the Lord until the morning. That's not mentioned over in 2 Kings. But here he says, I fought with the Lord all night. I wrestled with the Lord all night. In 2 Kings, it says that Isaiah was leaving, but he had not left the outer court. So evidently, he must have spent the night. Isaiah spent the night. Doesn't say that he did or didn't, but here we find that Hezekiah wrestled all the night with the Lord until the morning. He said, my life will be taken with broken bones day to night. Verse 14, he says, his chatter as a bird chirps and peeps like a bird, futile and helpless. Everything I try to do, there's no power in what I do. There's no grace in what I do. There's no accomplishment in what I do. He said, I mourn as a dove. I used to think that they called a mourning dove a mourning dove because it was of the morning. Then I learned that they're in the evening too, and they're in the afternoon, and they're in the nighttime. No, they call them mourning doves because of the sound that they make. An awful mourning sound. It can be a happy sound, depending on your attitude in life, I guess, but his mourning, weak, helpless, defenseless. And then he says, mine eyes fail with looking up. Hezekiah says, before the sun came up, all my pride had been dealt with. It's all gone. I realize that I'm just an ordinary person standing before a great God. All my pride's gone. Oh, Lord, I'm oppressed. And then he says, undertake for me. And that's where things changed in the prayer life of Hezekiah. When he said, oh, Lord, I'm oppressed. Overtake for me. I can't do this, Lord. I'm empty. I'm undone. If you don't take over, I'm lost. I share with you probably before. When I got saved, I had been kicked out of school when I was in the fifth grade for smoking. I was smoking on a regular basis. Smoked pretty regular when I married my wife. We weren't saved, of course, and I was smoking. And it had a hold of me. I remember how I used to say, if I ever thought that I was really getting hooked on cigarettes, I'd quit. Oh, yeah, right, uh-huh, yeah. When you feel the noose getting tight as you drop off the end of the cliff, take it off. Yeah, right, impossible, impossible. And I knew God had called me to preach. I knew God had wanted me to serve Him. And I knew I couldn't with these cigarettes hanging on my life. I tried everything in the world. They said, drink a lot of water. I drank more water than, man, I'm sure the Mississippi River wouldn't have furnished all the water I drank. They said, eat ice chips. I tried eating ice chips. They said, chew gum. I chewed every kind of gum that you can think of. I must have spent a half a fortune buying chewing gum. I tried all the different things. Tried to win my sister-in-law to the Lord, and she said, Bill Sutton, are you still smoking? I said, I am. She said, come back and talk to me when you've quit. Boy, that was another arrow in my heart. And I remember the morning that I was standing in front of a mirror in the bathroom. I know how Hezekiah felt. Because I knew that if God didn't take over, I'd never enter the ministry. And I got on my knees beside the commode and said, Lord, I can't. I can't. Something inside me said, son, I know you can't, but I can if you'll let me. And God and I struck a deal that day. I said, I'm going to let you. I believe you will. And I stood up into the glory of God. I've never smoked a cigarette, a pipe. I've never chewed a tobacco. I never put snuff in my mouth or Skoll or Copenhagen or anything of that nature. And I don't say that boasting on me. I know where I was when Jesus came to my rescue. And Jesus came to my rescue when I knew that was the only thing I had. Maybe you're here tonight and some prayer you've been struggling with. And all the time, you know, I used to get down and I'd say, oh, God, God, my daddy's dying. My daddy, as far as I know, Lord's going to hell. And God would say, let's talk about them cigarettes. I'd say, oh, God, I know that's important, but man, Lord, this is really important. My daddy might be going to hell. He said, let's talk about them cigarettes. And God wanted me to talk about cigarettes, and I wanted to talk about my daddy going to hell. Did God care if my daddy went to hell? Yes. But God wanted this boy who's going to be a preacher to be a clean vessel. And when pride is in the life, you can't be clean and have pride. These six things that the Lord hates. God's going to make a list of six things that he hates. The very top of the list is pride. So God dealt with my pride that day, even the place he gave me to pray. Not a place I'd have picked. Not a place I would have wanted. But when God dealt with my pride, God gave me victory. And I give him the glory for that. And tonight, maybe there's something that you've been talking to God about and you want it almost as bad as you want life itself. But there's something God's been talking to you about that he wants you to pick up or something he wants you to put down. Until you pick that thing up or you put that thing down, chances are you'll never get the answer to that prayer request that you keep bringing to God and bringing to God. And bring it to God when he keeps reminding you of that thing that's standing between you and victory. Let's bow our heads tonight, please. Father, in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd get a hold of our hearts tonight and help us to understand how pride goeth before destruction and the haughty spirit before a fall. Lord, you said these six things that the Lord hate, yea, and seven an abomination to him, a proud look. Father, you hate pride. Pride brings men down. Pride makes people little people. Pride makes people full of themselves. Pride says, I don't need you, God. Pride is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. Father, you've said if we'll humble ourselves, you'll exalt us in due time. But if we exalt ourselves, you'll humble us sooner than we'd like. And so, Father, tonight I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd give us victories tonight in our hearts and our lives, that we might bring the glory to you that we want to bring, that we need to bring. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.